as the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach go from bad to worse. Now we have Los Angeles International Airport near the breaking point, with air freight storage in some cases costing at 24 hours after arrival in excess of $1 a kilo per day for storage. Hang on, because this is only going to get worse before it gets better and much more chaotic. The speaker is Peter Lamy, President of Intelligent Supply Chain Management, an American worldwide agency based in Hawthorne, California. Peter was raised in the air cargo industry. His father, the late Don Lamy, who we'll detail later in this broadcast, was an air cargo pioneer as North American Director of Air New Zealand Cargo. Peter took his first airline job on the ramp of Flying Tigers in the early 1980s. Over the years, he's managed airline cargo operations at Los Angeles Airport for the carriers such as Braniff, Amerijet, and Aeromexico. Quote, we've seen all of this unfolding in slow motion over the past 12 months. Forwarders have been struggling to shield their customers from the reality of limited space, increased demand, and increasing costs. While retailers, Peter said, knew there had been issues, they seem to only be hitting the panic button now. Like the seaports, we now have our international cargo airports in total disarray, over capacity with little or no off-airport CFSs to offer any relief. Also, as airline ground handlers implement those aforementioned storage charges, they've come to a huge risk to handling import cargo for non-asset-based forwarders. What can be done is going to be a struggle. We just don't have the cargo facilities in place to absorb the influx of cargo at our passenger airports, he said. In terms of looking for other facilities, for years, these offline airports that were once military bases have tried to convert to all cargo aircraft to come to the facilities, but have limited success with the exceptions of the integrators like FedEx, but have limited success with the exception of carriers like FedEx and UPS, and now Prime Air Amazon, the new logistics gorilla. Peter went on to say, but former military facilities just don't cut it. They don't have the bonded facilities, the customs support needed to flick the switch and start accepting international cargo flights. We think government could ease the situation by allowing U.S. Customs to expedite cargo clearance and bonded facilities available away from the traditional ports of entry as one solution. We have no problems with TSA. We've adopted to their requirements over the years and worked closely with them with our CCSF that allows us to control our freight by consolidating and building ULDs at our own facilities. While others ran away from that responsibility, we charged in the other direction by expanding our warehouses and our screening capabilities. Peter Lamy said too many forwarders have become brokers and abandoned their responsibilities of actually handling their cargo as forwarders retreated to ivory towers and eliminated warehouses and trucks. All the while, here came Amazon, FedEx, and UPS. They kept investing in these assets and controlling their own destiny. Well, we at ISCM have taken a similar approach as the integrators and opened our own facilities around the world, Peter Lamy concluded. This is Jeffrey Aaron. Welcome to today's Flying Talkers. We're glad you're here. There'll be more right after this. Flying Talkers 2021, brought to you today by the people of ATC, from Frankfurt, Germany to the world, with offices open everywhere. ATC is the reliable general services and sales agent, GSSA, for top-rated customer satisfaction. If your airline is delivering service excellence, chances are ATC represents them somewhere. There's no secret sauce here. ATC's extraordinary expertise and service ethic harkens back to a time when results driven cargo executives were the product of a lifetime of best practices and great training. So contact ATC, One World, One Great Air Cargo GSSA. ATC Aviation can be contacted at atc.aviation.com and tell them Flying Talker sent you. That's atc-aviation.com. We've been thinking about conferences these days. There's one going on 12th to 14th in Dublin that IATA is putting on their World Cargo Symposium after having dumped Istanbul, apparently because nobody wanted to go there. And apparently the Dublin venue is going to pan out a bit for them. We wish them luck with that. But one of the conference perks that we've missed is the opportunity to dine with friends we don't otherwise see often. One came to us recently when Austin-based airport planner Michael Weber, Mike, was in town assisting the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey on cargo efforts at Newark Liberty International Airport, EWR, and John F. Kennedy International Airport, JFK. You remember we were writing about all the tenants over at Newark that got tossed or are getting tossed in favor of Amazon taking over most of the airport's cargo facilities? Well, apparently, although we would never assume to lay claim for anything, apparently that something is underway now that'll change things. At Newark and JFK, Weber's been interviewing cargo handlers and airlines about current operations and potential needs in the near and longer terms. Weber was reserved about detail of assignments with the Port Authority, but expansive about cargo capacity needs of U.S. airports in general. Weber pushed back against some recent reporting if losses in tonnage by these airports were simply attributable to facilities, the beneficiaries would have been in the regions like Massport, Boston, Logan, but they're down 43% since 2000, or Washington, Dulles, which is down 48% during that period. Due in large part to its UPS regional hub, Philadelphia has achieved a total, not annual, of about a 1% growth in 20 years. So the losses at major northeastern gateways, Mike says, are more about the migration of manufacturing and other demand drivers in perspective, the combined tonnage growth of Bradley International Airport in Hartford, Lehigh Valley International Airport in Pennsylvania about equals the decrease at Allegheny County Airports Authority, Pittsburgh, for the same period. We're talking about much more than the influence of cargo facilities. So the state of U.S. airport cargo facilities is fine? No, Mike says. Cargo facilities at most U.S. airports are inadequate for what's ahead. Since 2000, cargo improvements at most U.S. airports were almost nil until e-commerce and a pandemic sparked new interest. Resolving the gaps is far more difficult in mature markets where development comes up to the fences. Airports like Dallas on 14,000 acres are rare. Most major hubs can't open another greenfield site, Mike said. So what do you do? So Mike said he talks to the best sources available. I don't delude myself into thinking that I know more about a specific handler's business than the handler does. Every airport's different. The handlers are conducting a complex symphony out there, and it's different from building to building. In a constrained environment, some best practices are impractical. So they pivot to what is possible under the circumstances. As a consultant, I learn as much as possible about demand from the tenants and their service partners, and I confer with airport staff about what's possible from the capacity standpoint. In a constrained environment, you try to optimize available resources and understand trade-offs, Mike said. Besides, work with the Port Authority here? Are you busy, we wondered? He said, I've been doing some Central Asian country market assignments for the World Bank, and I've been working with private clients from the real estate sector and institutional investors, as well as a couple of northeastern U.S. airports. A good mix of international gateways and regional airports, plus some exotic international work? Mike said, no, I haven't been able to visit some, which is disappointing because I enjoy getting to know airport management teams and talking to cargo operators while getting a feel for communities. You and Sabia, you've been with me along enough coffee clutches to know that if anybody is standing behind me, I'll get the barrister's entire life story before I return to the table. I love, just love hearing people's stories. That's what Mike Weber said. You know what? It's the truth. So we're wondering if we're going to see Mike at some conference anywhere soon. Mike said, no, like you, Jeffrey. I miss seeing my friends in the industry, but I don't miss the actual events. I'm speaking at the USC Marshall School of Business Global Supply Chain Summit on a panel with Hessel Verhage, CEO of DB Schenker for the Americas, Ralph Riehl, Managing Director of Dasher, Garrett Kendall, VP of Operations for Pacifica Trucks, and Jason Walker, whose experience spans UPS, Kenco Logistics, and Maersk. Content-driven events are more my speed these days. Good for you, Mike. USC is in the backyard of Los Angeles, with which you're so readily identified, I said. Mike said, I no longer do any consultant for LAWA, but I still get calls each week from a handler, an airline, a forwarder, investor wanting to talk about Los Angeles. I answer their questions if able, or just tell them who to call it at Los Angeles. If I'm around Los Angeles anymore, it's to work on the music documentary I'm co-producing or to visit my son who lives in Long Beach, Mike smiled. Nice to get together with him. Well, thanks, Mike. We enjoyed speaking with you today. We wish you the best and hope for great success in finding new homes for people over at Newark Airport, if that is what it comes down to. And apparently that's what it has come down to. And we applaud the action of the Port Authority to bring you in, because you certainly can get that job done. This is Jeffrey Aaron. Flying Talkers podcast brought to you today by your friends at Pay Cargo, the better way to pay and to save time and money. You see, Pay Cargo has a better idea. By simplifying the payment process to more than 3,000 vendors, cargo moves faster. Pay Cargo saves you time and money by expediting important data and funds to ensure rapid release of your cargo. Maybe best of all, you get the time to build your business assured that the Pay Cargo team is with you, providing trackable, tangible results every step of the way. So why wonder why most shipments in the Pay Cargo system get released in as little as 1 hour? Go to www.paycargo.com and explore a whole new way to pay and get paid. Pay Cargo offers flexible payment options and also available credit lines. And as the number one online platform in the world for cargo payments, www.paycargo.com can offer you a level of service, financial expertise, and connectivity that makes it easy to ship, click, and pay. So go to www.paycargo.com and get the rest of the story. Discover how Pay Cargo simplifies a better way to pay and get paid. And tell them Flying Talkers sent you. That's www.paycargo.com. Great people to do business with. One of the reasons I got in touch with Peter Lamy to find out what was happening in Los Angeles is he's on the ground guy. He's a son of the former head of Air New Zealand Cargo, Don Lamy. But I was terribly saddened to learn that Don is no longer with us. He died in March of this year. Yeah, I've been on this beat for over 50 years, so I probably know some people you never heard of and probably could care less about. Somebody who retired a long time ago, actually. I guess Don Lamy retired at least 15 years ago, to my mind. But whenever it was, The last time I saw him was in 1995. We saw him at a barbecue. We had a lot of fun with Peter. I have a wonderful picture running in Flying Typers, if you get your issue this week, of the two of them. Air New Zealand used to put on this fabulous barbecue roast, but I'll tell you a little bit about him. I wanted to talk to you just for a minute about Don Lammy. It's very sad news. He died March 11 at age 84. He had leukemia. So in addition to his son Peter and his daughter Susan, Don leaves two grandchildren, Don Lammy and Keith Lammy. But Don was born in Guernsey, the Channel Islands, in the United Kingdom on May 30th, 1936. That means he was up front with a front row seat as a young boy when the Germans occupied the Channel Islands during World War II. You might recall the Channels were the only portion of the United Kingdom that remained under German occupation until the war was over. In 1963, Don immigrated to the United States, where he immediately began a memorable career in air cargo. Truth be told, Don was a force of nature when we knew him as top man in USA at the airline, as I mentioned at the top, that he served and became famous building, Air New Zealand Cargo, USA. From Los Angeles, Don had that cargo operation humming and punching way above his weight for decades. Don was also a major force in organizing cargo. In fact, he was quite instrumental in sponsoring and giving his time toward the betterment of our industry through his efforts that included early CNS partnership conferences and organizing and supporting the fledgling Los Angeles Air Cargo Association at the airport there. And today, both organizations continue as major forces for good in air cargo. Don was a big guy who walked into a room and you knew he was there. He was a take charge individual and was always inclusive, but he didn't suffer fools and always had a great penchant for rallying people to a cause of getting things accomplished together. Also, not to be overlooked, was Don's appetite for good food and drink. For years, a rite of passage at Los Angeles International Airport was the annual Air New Zealand barbecue, staff and customer event that was held outside a small park-like area between some office buildings at the airport. And it featured that succulent New Zealand lamb and other goodies at a festive networking event. Well, the story that Sal Sanfilippo told me, who served as ANZ Director Cargo of the Americas, that told me about this barbecue was typical Don Lammy. Don started it, Sal said. He told me the story in 1995, but I wrote it down, so here it is as he told it to me. The story is they got a big load of fish at Mystic Connection, back at a time when a reefer situation is not nearly what it is today, Sal said, and the decision was taken to, rather than let the fish go bad, why not cook it up and have a party? I mean, as long as we did that, we might as well just have a party and serve it. Don't you love it? So they invited the staff and the customers in, and they held the barbecue for at least 20 years at the point the last time I spoke to them. I don't know if it goes on anymore. It's kind of hard to get a hold of people at Air New Zealand these days. But Don Lammy's son, Peter, who today heads up the companies we had noted at the top here, as we mentioned at the top, Peter Lammy, Don's son, who today is president of Intelligence Supply Chain Management and American Worldwide Agencies based in Hawthorne, said these few words about his dad. He said, "I learned logistics from a great man, a dreamer and a doer, who was full of love for life and was talking air cargo and Air New Zealand with ideas and thoughts right up until the end. We plan to round up some of his mates and family and have a memorial service October the 8th aboard Ned Wallace's boat," Peter said. I'm sort of thrilled, this is Jeffrey speaking, to hear that Ned is okay and out there somewhere. Bravo, Ned, keep sailing, pal. Never very self-centered or seeking the spotlight, Don opened up his Facebook page prior to his departure from this dimension and wrote some simple words in a poignantly sentimental goodbye, dated March 3rd, 2021, celebrating life as he approached the gates of eternity. "Good morning, friends and family," Don wrote. "This is my goodbye to you all as I peacefully passed on in my sleep this morning. I've spent some quality time with Sue and Peter the last 2 weeks as my mind so kindly let me visit friends past and present, going places like Guernsey and going to places like New Zealand, all from my recliner. Life was a great journey with some amazing experiences. With that, I bid you farewell." That's what Don Lammy wrote. Let's put the last words from Don's friend, Haig Barsegian, who recalled, "Don and I spent a lot of time together as sales reps for Flying Tiger Line. We had adjacent sales territories and would often meet up for lunch. Don had a great sense of humor. I never saw him get angry. Later on, when he's with Air New Zealand, he would contribute kegs of beer to the annual Los Angeles Air Cargo Association bash in the Palm Desert. He was a great man. But most of all, he was a good man, and Don will be missed." Well, as we mentioned, Ned Wallace will sail off in a sentimental journey with some other Lammy stalwarts to honor the great man October the 8th. "Dad was always very low-key, son," Peter said. "Toward the end, we talked about life and Dad during a conversation. And he said to me, 'If someone had a notion to do something for me after I'm gone,' he said, 'might be nice to plant a tree,'" Peter recalled. "Well, that works for us. Happy landings. And thanks for the memories. Big Don Lammy." That's it for our presentation today, and thanks for joining us. Thanks for your time, this time, until next time. This is Jeffrey saying, keep 'em flying, Air Cargo. And good night, Joe, wherever you are.